Everything is Real. I'm Natalie D.
I'm Drew Toothpaste.
And today we are going to discuss how March was extremely weird, probably.
Yes, right. It's the latest in our continuing series of the weird events of each month provided as a public service to the public worldwide.
Right. We read all of the weird news, so you don't have to.
And what do people hate more than reading? It's hard to say.
Not much. Not much. People were, like, absolutely allergic to reading. It's like... It never ceases to amaze me.
You know, we're in the second or third year of the campaign to drive TikTok out of America, and yet everything else we have in America is geared around the absence of reading.
Right, right. Everybody online decided that everything was going to be videos, and as everything turns into videos, we are quickly learning how little information is actually in a video. Like, if you take a video and you transcribe it, it is like a little baby paragraph.
Yeah, most of what's out there, padding.
Right. It's just like taking everything and making it so there's no useful information on the internet at all.
Well, everything has essentially been turned into an episode of Ancient Aliens, which is funny because each episode of Ancient Aliens contains about four paragraphs of pretty interesting information.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's presented over 48 minutes slowly by six different people.
And they just say the same thing over and over and over again. I swear to God, Ancient Aliens is like Ambien. Like, I will put on an episode of Ancient Aliens and I will immediately pass out and then just periodically, like, just wake up to some shit about reptilians and I pass back out again. Just like Ambien. Something about lizard people, I don't fucking know.
And it's a shame because they do have some good people and some good information on there. A lot of drone shots, usually of Göbekli Tepe. What are you gonna
right.
What are you gonna do? You can't see the fucking UFOs, so you gotta zoom in and out of something.
Right. Like, oh, here we are with the Mexican pyramid. Up and down the stairs, guys.
Hey.
Take another lap, guys. Back up them stairs, back down those stairs, just like the serpent.
We could spend 40 minutes talking about how the Mexican pyramid looks like the pyramids in Cambodia, looking like the pyramids elsewhere in the world.
Sure, right. I mean, we all know that now. It's like not even a mystery. I mean, the mystery is why still, but it's not a mystery that they're there. They are absolutely all over the place.
And you can pontificate, but the reason why is pretty simple. There used to be some kind of centralized information source that was like, hey, what if we all made pyramids? And then they all did it. The easiest explanation. None of the specifics of that matter. And whether it's true or not also doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, if you ask me, there was a giant cataclysm and most of the people in the world were killed and they sent an alien man who looked like a bird to all the different countries and he taught everybody how to build pyramids.
Yeah, he came out of the sea like the lady in Death Stranding. It was pretty mysterious. You weren't sure what to do. She hands you a gun. You're like, what? I'm not, I think you're my mom and my sister. I'm not going to shoot you. That's what Thoth is like.
He's like, I'll teach you how to make a pyramid and how to do math and how to write words and how to do other stuff. That's what he's like.
That is like his tone of voice. That's spot on.
And the whole time he looks like a dope bird. I never look like a bird. That's how you can tell I'm not like an ascended master like he is.
Now, at this point, after having recorded this show a few years, I've had multiple psychic readings. Nobody has yet explained to me what an ascended master is, unfortunately.
An ascended master is someone who has, like, gone through, like, a mystery school or followed some particular kind of religious practice, like Buddhism or whatever, and they attained enlightenment, right? And so they exist beyond the veil in an enlightened state, and they will assist people in ascending themselves.
Oh, so it's like just a Western word for bodhisattva.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, as it turns out, I know what an ascended master is.
There you go.
I don't think, well, I don't know. Maybe if I get audiobooks, everybody hates reading. Maybe all the good stuff is in audiobooks. I'm pretty sure for me at this point with the time I have left, it's just going to have to be reading. I can't, go to the Ascended Master TikTok.
Right. You're not going to get very much noses from TikTok, I don't think, sadly.
Now, that would be a good idea for a channel. If anybody out there is saying, I want to get on the TikTok train, I want to make my name in YouTube Shorts. I want to be the Instagram master of reels.
Right, right. You said YouTube Shorts. I imagine that they were like track shorts with a YouTube logo on them, because that's how out of sync I am with all the fucking shit going on to videos.
Oh, that?
I was like, you got YouTube Shorts? That sounds ugly.
They would be repulsive, like right. Cream-colored satin.
Right. Right.
With the YouTube logo printed.
Well, hear me out here. I think that you need to get on a path where you learn the mysteries and you become enlightened, because I'm going to get enlightened this time. I'm not coming back.
Okay.
And so if you want to have a soulmate, you need to ascend with me. Otherwise, I'm going to be your higher self next time.
Mm. Yeah, this is like when your friend gets good at Smash Brothers and you either have to learn how to play it or quit.
I'm just saying, like, I could be your higher self next time and hopefully lead you on a path to enlightenment. But I would much prefer if, like, we both got to live in the fifth dimension.
I would love it if you would get on my level.
Get hype, man. You see how much I meditate?
So the first thing I wanted to talk about, the thing that I am most pumped to talk about, is that the monolith, the idea of the monolith, we're talking the one that was from 2020, The monolith is back.
The monolith is back, yeah. Uh-huh. This happened at the beginning of the month, right? Now, not sure if you guys remember 2020. It was a blur of the stupidest news stories that anyone had ever seen. It was like a combination of abject terror and like the dumbest fluff you've ever seen, right? So back in 2020, when we were all locked in our house, there were all the monoliths like popping up all over the place. Like, there's one in Utah, there was one here and over there, wherever the hell, right?
Yeah, there was one in like Eastern Europe in Romania or
right,
something.
Right, they were like all just popping up all over the place, and it's like, oh, very mysterious, and some of them look like shit.
So the first one is shiny, and it looked like aluminum, right? It was reflective, and it was pretty tall. It was like 10 to 12 feet tall.
Right.
And it's a triangular prism. So it's got three sides, and it's got a triangular top and bottom.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, so there were all these guys popping up, and it was like, oh, it's a mystery. And then some more popped up, and they looked like shit. So those were obviously, like, people who were jacking someone's stees, right?
Yeah.
Kids don't say that anymore, do they?
They were fizzing the riz.
They were fizzing your riz. And and then, you know, I think there was some art collective that took credit for it, but who knows if that was actually them, right? Everyone wants to take credit for mysterious stuff and be like, that was me. I'm the cool guy.
Yeah, the two organizations that always want to take credit for mysterious stuff are anarchist art collectives and the Islamic State.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, then time has passed. It's been like 4 years now. Now we got the fucking monoliths that are coming back. There was a monolith that popped up in Wales, in this place called Powys, which is in the uplands of Wales. So it is like this natural environment. And there was this guy who was hiking, and he was hiking up this hill, and he like got to the top of it, and monolith, baby. Watch out. There it is.
Now, the first monolith that went up in Utah, it was in that part of Utah that looks like another planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's those orange rounded rocks. They look like they're a billion years old.
Right.
And it was first seen from a helicopter. There were helicopters out there, and they were counting sheep, trying to find out where the sheep went and how many of them there are. And they're like, there's a goddamn shiny thing out here and nobody's ever out here. And they kind of zoomed in and looked, and it's a monolith.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not really sure when it went up, but they think it went up quite a while before it was found,
right?
Because it was in such an isolated location.
Right.
And it wasn't really a place. It was sort of like in a hollow between rocks. It wasn't really in a place where people were going to be recreationally hiking.
Right. And, you know, of course, because people can't leave anything alone, they took it down.
People came in and took it down. It was public land, but my view on public land is maybe a little bit unconventional. I definitely don't think you should damage anything, mm-hmm. but I think that putting an art object on public land that's not really touching anything, that's sitting on a rock, is like pretty cool and harmless.
Right.
And I think there was some group that carried it out and then they said, please spread our environmental message. Don't leave art in the wilderness. Like, why is that your message?
Save the earth. Fuck art.
So, as often happens in planet Earth, you know, people kind of misuse a small idea they have and use it to be destructive.
Right, right. Okay, so this happened on something called Hay Bluff Hill. And the guy who came across it said that it looked like it was put there deliberately. Like, some people had hypothesized that someone just chucked it out of a helicopter, in which case it would be unlikely that it would land so perfectly, right? He also said that it was absolutely beautiful. Like, it was totally smooth and shiny, and he said it looked like surgical steel.
Okay, so spotless steel made in a precision way. Because as far as anybody can tell with any of them, especially this latest one, it's like very cleanly put together.
Right, right, right. And so, I mean, is it aliens who are putting them down? Is it an art project? There's like no way. I mean, there's no way to know right now. No one saw anyone. There was the art collective who tried to claim credit for it. But like, I'm always skeptical when they claim credit, but they don't release a documentary about it, right? If I was an artist and I was doing some mysterious installation art piece that was going to shock the world and it was going to be a great mystery, I would come out at the end and be like, it was me. Here's my documentary. And then everyone would get on Amazon Prime and pay $5 to watch it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But no one ever did that. No one ever showed, like, the fabrication process. They never showed what their vision was. They never gave any kind of explanation about why they were doing it. Which, you know, if you're actually involved in the fine art world, people will often have, like, artist statements where they talk about what it is that went into this piece. Like, the ideas that they are trying to convey and their methods. Like, that's an important part of art.
The context of art is very important. And you have these cases of a janitor cleaning up an art installation that is sort of arranged garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You have stories of art pieces like the banana taped to the wall and then somebody eats the banana. And then we all get to think about what art is and what it means to us.
Right, right.
Which, of course, was the point of the piece.
Right, right.
Humans' interaction with art is so contentious, it's amazing. It's all we have that's abstract, that is for us to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
A way of communicating abstractly in a visual or auditory or audiovisual, multisensory mm-hmm. way, right? I think that it is society that leaves people dead to the power of art. If you crest a beautiful, rounded, lush hill in Wales and come across a perfect monolith, that is amazing. That is an amazing experience. And to have your response to that be, I'm going to take it down. Why would you do that?
People have no vision, right?
Now, the best response or interaction with the original monoliths. So like you said, there were like some second tier monoliths where like you could see the rivets on them.
Right. Like there's all kinds of welding marks and shit and it's like all scrubbed off. Like,
yeah, it looks like it was
machined by a moron.
Yeah, buffed, buffed with a $19 orbital sander. In other words, like something that I would do.
Right. Well, no, you wouldn't, because I would be overseeing your project and be like, don't do it like that, Andy.
Well, the original monolith, my favorite knockoff of that is about 10 or 12 months after the first one went in. They put a monolith in Columbus, Ohio, where we lived at the time, but it was decorated with the colors of Ohio State. And they said it's the Ohio State monolith, which is like just the perfect response to a mysterious art project is that people decided that they would take. Now, no owners ever came out.
Mm-mm.
There was, there was some theoretical connection behind the one in Utah and a local artist who had worked with machined almost like mirror steel.
Right.
He had made big installations. He had died by the time that the original monolith went up, though. So it's, you know, nobody knows if he was involved or not. But the Columbus, Ohio popular response to this is, actually, the monolith is about football.
That's the only way you can get Columbus, Ohio behind any art at all. We painted it red and gray. It's art, right? And they're like, yeah, put a Brutus Buckeye face on it.
The most amazing thing, and I had a lot of good times in Columbus. I met a lot of cool people. But one of the most amazing things is you could drive through any neighborhood within the metropolitan area. You could even go to these little towns outside it, like Harlem Township. And you could see houses where the outside of the house had been repainted to look like a football helmet.
Right.
An Ohio State football helmet.
Right. Or you would see someone who had a flagpole and the top flag was American flag and the under flag was the Ohio State flag.
Absolutely.
Not the state of Ohio. Ohio State college logo flag.
Nearer to God.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I was always involved with, like, art club and, like, all of, like, the arty activities, right? And one of the things we would do every year is we would have a pumpkin sale where we would paint stuff on pumpkins and then sell them to raise money for, like, whatever trip we were going to take that year. And I remember one year I discovered that if you painted the pumpkin to look like a guy wearing a football helmet, you would make money hand over fist.
Uh-huh.
And so forever after, we would just paint pumpkins to look like they had football helmets on. And football people would just pumpkin. Be like, where's my football pumpkin? I need a football pumpkin.
But so the monolith as an object, monoliths and obelisks, I just gotta say, are top tier objects. If you're gonna have any large structure that is mysterious, a monolith or an obelisk is a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a mysterious little free library,
right.
Okay? Don't make a mysterious vending machine.
Right.
Mysterious right. obelisk. I'm in. Where did it come from? It's so huge. How did they move it?
Right. The thing with the obelisk to me is that I believe that you could be an artist and be like, I'm going to fabricate mysterious obelisks and have your connects, right? Like, you know some guy who you went to college with and he's a fabricator. And, you know, you could be like, oh, hey there, Joe, I need an obelisk, right? I believe you could do that. I think the mystery in the story of the obelisk lies in how they are all placed so far apart, because it would be very difficult to fabricate an obelisk and then move it across the globe. So, I mean, you can't take a 12-foot monolith and put it on an airplane. Someone would see you, and then they'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw that bitch with the monolith. She was taking it over to Utah. Right?
Two TSA agents on break. Oh, yeah.
That bitch with the monolith, it took forever getting her through, right?
So
it would not be a mystery, right?
So what you're saying is, if this popped up in the hinterlands of upland Wales, that means it would have had to been fabricated nearby.
Right, right. Because someone would have seen it. And especially if you're talking about rural Wales, if someone saw someone bringing a monolith into town, it would be hot gossip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're talking 12 feet tall. So this is not just, you know, throw in the back of your pickup truck, right?
Right, right, right. And then, you know, there was one in like Eastern Europe. There's one in Utah. You know, they're all over the place and they are like very far apart. So either that person has to have fabrication connections all over the place.
Or they're moving metal.
How? Where? How? Like someone in Utah, if they fabricated it, someone was there.
Yeah.
How many fabrication shops do they have? And loose lips sink ships, right? I'm just saying the monoliths are very mysterious.
And it really takes skill to make something like this,
right.
Okay? Me or you, we can whittle a little thing, okay?
Right.
We could whittle a little wooden whistle or something. We could, you know, do some home repairs. We could paint on a canvas, or we could paint a mural on the wall or on a fence or something. But to fabricate something out of stainless steel in a way that leaves it spotless, you would have to have, I'm guessing, you would have to have a press or something to bend the metal. You couldn't have hammered that.
Right.
Because that would have left you know, markings on the metal. If you ever see the forged in fire shit, when those guys, you will get some guy who has the kilt and everything, and he has he has this enormous setup, and he's got a power hammer and all this kind of stuff just to make swords.
Right.
I don't think those guys would be able to forge and fabricate something that's 12 feet long. That requires something on a different right. scale.
You need actual, like, real industrial setup. Like, I could maybe make a 2-foot-tall obelisk out of ceramic slabs, but then when I fired it, it would come out and be 17 inches tall. And it would be wobbly.
And you would leave it somewhere in a desolate spot in the Green Mountains, and 20 years later, somebody would come across it and be like, what's this? It looks like a little obelisk. Who left that here? Who knows?
What kind of shitty plant pot is this? Who knows? And no one would care. But you know what? Here, they would leave it.
They would leave it alone. They wouldn't paint it Ohio State colors. No, I'll tell you that.
That's for goddamn sure. So, I think that the real headline for today's episode, which I'm sure will be borne out in the cover of the episode, is new mummies. New alien mummies from Peru just dropped.
Depending on who you ask, they may have made up a guy.
Yes, we got new mummies. What do you got to say about that?
So, it was what? Last year is 2023. And there was going to be a hearing in front of the Mexican Congress, right. Like the nationwide Congress in Mexico. And they had one of the fighter pilots, Ryan Graves, come down to talk about his experience flying around UFOs. And he gets there and they open up these crates and it's the fucking Peruvian mummy.
I feel like the Peruvian mummy thing was purely an operation to discredit Ryan Graves. They got him on stage, and he was under the assumption he was speaking to a foreign government in the same way that he spoke to his own. And then they turned it into a sideshow. And so then, by affiliation, now he is the fighter pilot with the Peruvian mummies. But then, because the Peruvian mummies were so interesting to people, then they took on a life of their own. Instead of people looking at them and being like, those are fucking dumb. Put those away.
Yeah, and this is, like we pointed out when we talked about this before, this is textbook disinformation. Tying legitimate people and legitimate sightings of mysterious things to something that is easily debunked taints the real sighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic. This goes back to the 1950s techniques used by the CIA and other extra-governmental organizations.
Right.
They take hubcaps, throw them up in the air, take photos of them, debunk their own photos, and say, therefore, all alien sightings, all UFO sightings are fake. They're right. All hoaxes. And this is the exact same thing. What happened was we got some whistleblower activity. We get people testifying in front of Congress multiple times, open and closed sessions. Everybody who's interested in it has seen all the pictures and the video of the guy saying we have biological remains.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have the pilots of the craft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this went against the official narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not long after this happened, you know, you get the government saying, well, we investigated it, and it turns out there aren't any aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Not long after, you know, Grush and Graves and Fravor give testimony to Congress. And let me be clear, I don't give a shit about Congress, okay? This is mostly about people willing to go on record and willing to put themselves on the line as far as perjuring themselves mm-hmm. in front of Congress on TV. You just can't lie.
Right, right.
They will get your ass.
Right.
And so they come in with this campaign to chip away at their credibility in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, flash forward to 2023, we get alien bodies. They're alien mummies. And what'd they do? They x-rayed them, right?
Right. They always x-ray them. So, there were this pair, I think they were documentarians or something, who were the ones who first, like, were like, we got new mummies, right? And they're like, we are documentarians. We're here to show you. So obviously it's like a circus to start with, right? And they found more mummies. There's two more mummies. There's a 4 foot tall one and a 9 foot tall one. I have not seen the pictures of the 9 foot tall one, I don't think. Unless it's the one that's in the fetal position.
That sucker wasn't 9 feet tall. He was a little, he was sitting crisscross applesauce, but they...
Yeah, so he was a 4 foot tall one. So yeah. These guys are bigger than the little shitty guys from before. Which again, this is makes it weird to me. Why do we have 18,000 different sizes of them? It's weird, right? Little baby ones, giant huge ones, and medium sized ones, right? It's like, it's a little too like... It's a little too extra for me or something. I don't know.
It's asking too much of you to suspend your disbelief, because ultimately, when you are confronted with alien bodies, because of the history of human existence, having gone through things like Fiji Mermaid, and having dealt with X-Files and Ripley's Believe It or Not and all kinds of bullshit like this, all kinds of faked videos of aliens and alien bodies, and of course the water's real cloudy, we don't know which ones are real, if any. Then they bring out a little alien that looks kind of like ET, and they kind of x-ray them, and they're janky as shit. This is alien version one,
right?
The Peruvian mummy version one.
The ones that look like ET, these guys don't look like that. These guys look different. They have different facial structures. They're different sizes. Like, they really are trying to sell this idea of, like, a United Nations of all kinds of different aliens that are just hanging out in Peru, I guess.
And the first ones had these little squished ET heads, and now the new one they dig up just looks like a gray alien.
Right.
It's a dried up take me to your leader.
Right. They have another one that looks like one of the ET ones, and they put it in a little dress. This is one of my main issues with the aliens, the alien mummies. If I was to go to Egypt and open up a pyramid and take out a sarcophagus and then crack the sarcophagus open and get the mummy out.
Yeah, first of all, this proves you're British.
Right. And I had this mummy. I would not just like pick the mummy up with my bare hands and sit it on an old dirty box. And then maybe I go over to my closet and find my favorite sun shirt and put him in an old fucking metal shirt and maybe some sweatpants, right? That's not what you do with it. That's not what you do with a historical artifact that's a mummy. And there were thousands of mummies. There were so many mummies that people were like eating them and stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're talking about biological evidence of aliens living on Earth. So you should be treating those mummies even more carefully than you would a mummy, right?
They weren't even wearing gloves.
And one of these pictures I saw of this most recent mummy, it is like two yokels wearing street clothes with their cell phones, and this mummy is sitting on a pile of paper towels on an old cardboard box. And it looks like there is white dust everywhere, like the mummy is flaking off and just like landing everywhere and just leaving it.
It doesn't read as believable, and what strains the credulity of it is the fact that the people who were handling it don't seem to care that much about it.
The people in this picture with the mummy, they don't have gloves on. They don't have any protective equipment on. They don't have their hair tied back. They're not wearing masks. I mean, I don't think that you would be able to catch something from that, but I would be concerned if I was like in charge of taking care of that mummy, that the humidity from people's breath would get on it. Right?
I mean, I've been
in... The oils from their hands would cause them to degrade.
I've been in rare book rooms where you have to treat the books better than they're treating the mummies.
Right.
And the books are real.
Right. Right. And so with these people, though, they are wearing street clothes. They don't have any kind of, like, lanyards on that imply that they've gone through any kind of, like, background check thing. They have no credentials to be next to this mummy. They're just chilling with the mummy. And it is literally on an old cardboard box. It is like this picture I have of my mom when my mom was born. And she is like a little newborn baby, and they have her all swaddled up. And then my grandmother like laid her down on the ground in the yard, propped up on an old tire. But babies are cheap. There's babies all over the fucking place.
You make your own.
Who gives a shit? Make another one, right? So that's my first problem with the mummies. My other problem with the mummies is they expect us to believe that they are real, but they will not say who found them, their circumstances that they found them in. Like, the implication is that these are, like, plunderers who are plundering, like, historical sites and, like, taking all of the spoils inside and, like, selling them on the black market, and then they keep on finding these alien bodies and they don't know what to do with them. That, to me, is the implication, but that doesn't have any kind of credence to me. If we're getting these from thieves, then why do we trust that they're not making fake mummies?
Now, this is apocryphal, okay? There was a program where a government decided they wanted to eradicate rats, okay? And this is apocryphal. I don't know if this is sourced, but it's incredibly believable. They went around to local farmers and they said, okay, for every rat you catch, we'll give you whatever, some amount of money, the equivalent of a dollar.
Five rats. For every rat, they get five rats. That's what I call a great deal.
So... anyway, so the rats are eating the rice in the fields, right? Mm-hmm. And the government says, okay, you catch a rat, we'll pay you for each rat you catch. So the farmers are like, okay, great, because, you know, they are eating our rice and it's going to help everybody. If everybody has more rice, they go around and catch the rats and they give them to the government, and the government pays people. You know, some people are coming in with hundreds of rats. And so they start to make more money than they're making farming. And this turns some of the farmers into rat breeders.
Right, right.
And so some of these folks decide they're going to breed rats to get more rats because the government will pay you for rats. And until the program ends, they're breeding rats instead of growing rice.
Right.
Maybe they're doing both. I do both.
Yeah.
Plants are easy
to grow. You
got to
diversify because you know your rat scam's not going to last that long.
Yeah, the rat game is tough, baby.
You need to get in and get out with the rat game.
But so this is all to say that the idea that people could be faking these mummies to kind of sell it to somebody who is going to bring it into an organization or whatever. Sure, sure. And the first round of mummies we saw had incredibly suspicious characteristics. They had skulls that looked almost identical to llama skulls. Uh-huh. And of course, llamas in Peru. Mm-hmm. This is something that exists. You can get a llama skull in Peru.
Easy.
I'm assuming it's easy.
Easier than here.
Each llama's got a skull.
I just said easier than here, but we got a neighbor with a llama. I know one here too.
Yeah. If we really needed a llama skull,
we could get one here.
One,
yeah.
We could get one here, and we're pretty far north. And they had bones. Now, you know, if you think about the way that a human hand works, you have the two arm bones that come down to the wrist, and then you have these little smaller bones that come out in the hands. And these aliens, even though they had three fingers, they just sort of had a square block in the middle of their hand. Like, right. Maybe on the first round, they weren't expecting them to be x-rayed.
Well, I have pictures of the x-rays of the hands of the new ones, and the x-rays of the hands of the new ones look a lot better. But to me, it makes it seem like they rolled out the new ones and be like, nuh-uh, the hands look great. Right? Like, they're just trying to cover up their mistakes from the first time.
The hands are suspiciously improved.
Right, right. I mean, it kind of looks like a bird foot, maybe.
And you know they have jointed fingers and all this, but... you know, after they realized what they would look like when x-rayed, then they can go back and iterate and make new hands.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that there are zero aliens on Earth. If you've listened to the show, and by the way, if you're not subscribed, you're missing out on real aliens. We talk about real UFOs, real aliens
all the fucking time.
Yeah, patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity, you get 400 episodes. You can learn about the aliens that are real. Just because we don't think these are doesn't mean that there aren't a bunch that probably are fucking real.
Just because we don't believe in the Peruvian mummies doesn't mean we're not gullible.
So out of all the aliens that we've heard about, alien telepathy, alien landings, lots of people have seen them. They're hard to take pictures of. They move around in time. They move in and out of dimensions and stuff. And yet, we've got a whole bunch that are dying, and each new one we find is slightly better? Come on!
And they're all different. Some of them are maybe little, some of them are medium-sized, and some are very tall, indeed. I want to see that 10-foot fucker. Anyway, so...
That's probably the guy from the mall.
Oh, shit. Don't go making me believe in the Peruvian mummies now. So, allegedly, the big mummy got its DNA tested. And again, this is allegedly because I have not seen any scientific papers about it. I have not seen any information with the DNA test. But the documentarians who are interacting with these new mummies say that, you know, the DNA, maybe they're not aliens, but they are 1,000 years old. And they say that 30% of their DNA is unique to anything that's on Earth. And so they are saying that it is evidence of, like, genetic interference, possibly. But again, that is just as noteworthy to me as an alien body, and that does not explain why you're keeping it in an old Nike box.
If you have sequenced the genome...
Show me.
...of what is purportedly an alien species, it would be very easy for you to release the data publicly.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to any institution and you said, okay, here's our test method, here's how we collected the DNA, here's the machine we sequenced it on, here's, you know, how we acquired this data, it's in a standardized format, here's the standardized format, I have zipped the file to make it smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are very normal ways to do all this, and right. The genome has not been shared with anybody. All we've got is people who said, yeah, I looked at it, and it's real.
It is completely overlooking the fact that one of the things that science has going for it is the scientific method. And if you have tested these mummies and you have evidence that they are made with alien DNA and they are unique to anything that lives on this planet, then there are scientists all over the goddamn place who would be chomping at the bit to test that mummy. The whole point of science is that it has to be repeatable. If you have evidence, then you get another scientist to repeat the experiment and get similar results. And then if a second scientist gets similar results to the one that you got, then suddenly the story is a lot more plausible. And then if you get a third one, which is, of course you would. This is an alien body. Every single fucking scientist on the planet wants to test that body, right?
Absolutely.
If there's a biological, genetic scientist anywhere in this world who says, no, I don't want to test an alien body, I'm not curious about their DNA, then they need to get fired from their job.
There are genomics labs in universities and corporations across just the United States where if you said, hey, we've got alien DNA, can we sequence it on your machine?
They wouldn't even charge you.
Everybody would immediately drop everything and be the university to put out the press release and say the University of X has just sequenced the first alien DNA, because that means... When a research institution does that, it all comes down to what you think it comes down to, which is money. When a research institution says, hey, the University of Smart Boys in Montana has just determined, they're good degrees and they're
right.
cheap too.
Right.
We have determined that this is 30% fucking alien DNA, and now you've built a name for yourself, and you are getting grant money to conduct other studies. Uh-huh. You've got corporations coming to you who now want to license this genomic data from
right,
you.
Right.
And so the idea that it was just done privately at a lab and nobody can see the printout is incredibly funny.
The fact that no other research facility is doing anything with these mummies is because they're not giving them samples to test. And they are not giving samples to test because they know that the results of the tests would not back up the story that they are pushing.
They can't spin any tale about the integrity of the mummies because they're holding them up like one-handed with no glove and kind of dancing them on the table like a G.I. Joe.
Right, exactly. They're absolutely playing Barbie Dreamhouse with them and just like making them walk across the table and stuff.
You could snap a toe off and send it to MIT, please.
And obviously you guys have been like jackpotting yourself and like you have 90,000 different ones. Like, just take one and cut it into a million pieces and spread it across the planet and see what happens.
He did it with Einstein's brain and he's fine.
Right. He is fine. So, yeah, so these guys, they're really trying to sell this idea. They think that it is at least beings that lived on Earth that had their DNA manipulated by aliens. I think that there are beings on Earth that had their DNA manipulated by aliens. There's about 8 billion of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. You know who had their DNA manipulated by aliens? Your mom.
I mean, how much difference in DNA is there between us and a chimp? You don't need 30% to make him an alien.
No.
You need, like, just a drop of something special, and you got a weird guy on your hands.
All of us are 0.01% take me to your leader.
Right.
That's all we need.
Right, right.
So before we go, Natalie, I don't want to miss a weird occurrence that happened.
Okay, so yeah, the last thing we're going to talk about today was this guy, Danny Sheehan, who is an attorney who's been rolling around with some of these disclosure guys, right? And earlier this month, Danny Sheehan posted pictures of some text that he saw, and then he wrote it down like on a post-it note, like alien writing that he saw, and he wrote it down so he could show people without like showing the photograph, right?
Okay. So just to give a little bit of background, Danny Sheehan is generally thought to be pretty credible.
Mm-hmm.
He is not read into these confidential top secret type programs, but he has worked with, you know, the whole David Grush, Gary Nolan, all that whole crowd, right?
Right, right, right.
And so he claims to have seen writing, alien writing, on a craft.
Uh-huh. And he saw it, and then he's like, I'm going to transcribe this writing that I see in front of me onto a piece of paper so I can secret it out of this meeting and show it to people, right? And so that's what he did. And he posted the picture of the writing, and it looks like percent signs. Like, there's a percent sign, and then there is another percent sign, only has, like, a little wiggle line instead of one of the dots, right? Some of the percent signs have 4 dots instead of having 2 dots. Some of them are percent signs, and they have, like, lines instead of dots. So it's, like, a short line where the dots would be, right?
Uh-huh. So it looks like each of these glyphs, where, you know, a glyph is just a character, has a line through it, and then it's got different dots, dashes, curves, angles on each side of the line.
Right. And the angle of the line changes. Like, sometimes it is, like, at a 45-degree angle to the left. Sometimes it's at a 45-degree angle to the right. Sometimes it is, like, more upright. It just kind of changes, right? And so he said this was the alien writing. Obviously, it's indecipherable to me. We'll probably put a picture of it in the Discord at the very least. Possibly also in the image that we put up with the episode itself. But it seems like a very inexplicable writing. Like, you can't really figure out what it means. But I did hear someone say a theory about what it means. And they suggested that it is possible, like, you know how when a UFO takes off and then it kind of angles and it flies away?
Yeah, yeah.
They were trying to say that maybe possibly the line in the middle of the percent indicates the angle of the craft. And the marks above and below are, like, maybe different settings for the craft. And so maybe it was ship controls.
Okay. Now, that makes sense. Now, something that's occurring to me looking at this, where you've got lines, variable numbers of dots, you've got little curves or little carets, C-A-R-E-Ts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the combinations of this would maybe lead you to between 20 and 40 different combinations. Because you've got 1 dot, 2 dot, curve, and dash on either side of this line. And maybe the angle of the line means something.
Right.
But we're only looking at a character set that seems comparable to an Earth language. Even, you know, somewhere between English, 26 letters, to one of the Eastern European languages that maybe have about 40 letters.
Mm-hmm. This is like 9-15 different glyphs. Well, there might be some repeats, but like there's 15 glyphs. My complaint is that Danny Sheehan does not have the attention to detail that I would have. If I drew those glyphs out, you would know that's what they look like.
Oh,
these are messy.
You would have wanted to make them perfect.
I would have made them perfect.
I'm sure you would have. You got to start hanging out with the aliens.
I know.
We're going to get real info if you are reading these crafts.
I'm never going to meet an alien.
You just look at their bumper stickers, come home,
right,
and write what they say.
I think that they are telepathic and they can see in my mind that if they ever revealed themselves to me, I would just punch them in the face.
You know what I think? You know what I think it says? It says, if you can read this, your leader fell off.
Okay, so here's my thing. This is the reason I wanted to bring this up. It's like not necessarily the glyphs. Those are all interesting, but there's no way for us to know what those are.
Right, right.
And there's no way for us to decipher them. There's no way for us to understand, like, Danny Sheehan's motives for sharing them. I feel like his motives for sharing them are suspicious. So prior to this, I was kind of like thinking that Danny Sheehan was pretty reliable. Like, he seemed like a decent character in the saga of the alien disclosure. But I feel like he's going in the direction of Ross Coulthart. Like, Ross Coulthart seemed to start liking being on TV. And he started liking the attention he was getting. And so he wanted to always have something to say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that that's a dangerous trap to get in. And I feel like it's really easy for people to fall into that trap in the current society we live in, where people with social media and stuff feel like they have to constantly be on the front page. And in order to stay on the front page, you have to constantly be saying stuff all the time. And when you are in a process that is like so slow and so trickling out, like the disclosure process, you're going to have to make some leaps in order to make sure that your name's always out there. But who is Ross Coulthart? Who cares about what he thinks? Who is Danny Sheehan? These people don't have anything to do with aliens, aside from the fact that they are interacting with people who are involved in the disclosure process. Ross Coulthart is like a journalist. Danny Sheehan's an attorney. Neither of them are aliens or work in the military and have ever had any kind of interactions with UFOs, right? So why is he doing this? I feel like it is questionable for an attorney to go into a meeting where they are shown stuff where they're not supposed to have seen it.
Yeah.
And then secret out stuff on their own and then post it around for people to see with their name and be like, hey, hey, I'm Danny Sheehan, the UFO lawyer. Here's a picture of some secret stuff I saw. That is like such a violation of trust, and it makes it seem like he's like sloppy. I wouldn't hire him after that.
So if this stuff needs to be kept secret to where everybody is sworn to secrecy, everybody has to have clearances and all this, and then he takes this information and reveals it, there would have been some sort of reprisal if it were real.
Right.
And this is what made David Grush's testimony more interesting to me, is he said, I've had credible threats against my life and my family's life for going and talking about this stuff, and I had to go public because of these threats. And so that at least told a story that made sense to me. A guy bringing out alien glyphs, which nobody has ever done credibly, okay? We had the Rendlesham incident in England in 1980 where a guy claimed he saw glyphs and then it decoded to binary code, really smelled off.
Right.
And this also smells off. It's kind of like people are playing a game of hinting to everybody that they know something you don't. But once you reveal what you supposedly know, it had better be totally real or people know you're bullshitting. Now, here's the problem. You mentioned Ross Coulthart. He does this huge interview with David Grush, is really interesting. But then Ross Coulthart comes back and he's doing more and more and more interviews, but he doesn't have any more information. And this is the rub. You cannot take one disclosure of one piece of information and make a career out of it. You cannot be the person supplying information if you have one information. Now, as a person who posts on social media a lot and operates a feed of what our corporate overlords would call content, I have an advantage. I just make shit up. Because it's all jokes. I make up jokes. I post the jokes. And that's it. People come back because I can always make up more jokes. Now, if I'm reporting facts, I have to stick to real things.
Right.
And when it comes to facts that I have that other people don't have, well, I don't have that many of them.
Right.
So I personally could not have a career in alien disclosure, because even if I tripped and fell and got one alien disclosure, once I disclosed it, my career in alien disclosure is now about seeing how long I can make people think I've got more.
Right. And here's another complaint I have about Danny Sheehan is that if he was a great freedom fighter and he was like, I owe it to the American people to divulge this truth about aliens. Everyone deserves to know about aliens. This is like a travesty that this information is hidden from us. Then the proper course of action would be for him to amass a giant fucking thick dossier and host it on 3 or 4 different websites and then leave the country and then publish it all. That's what he would do if he was actually a freedom fighter. And that's what he would fucking do if he actually was interested in disclosure. But what he is doing is he is like posting napkin doodles of shit he sneaks out of meetings and not giving us any meat. If what you want to do is share the truth with us, then shit or get off the pod. That's my feeling anymore. I don't want to hear anymore like, oh, blah, blah, little teeny tiny bit of information. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it is. No way to know. And to have that coming from an attorney who's allegedly involved in this process, he's lost credibility to me. He's completely lost it.
When you start playing the game of bending the truth, you know, you can never tell if you've bent the truth too far until it springs back.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
It's unfortunate. If you're listening and you have credible information on what alien handwriting looks like, hop in the Discord. You know where to go, patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity.
So what is your score for this month? How do you feel about March? How weird was it?
How weird was March on a scale of 1 not weird at all to 10 pretty weird? I'm going to give March a 4. I felt like we've had some weird stuff before, and unfortunately, we were about 2/3 hoax and 1/3 cool metal object that is definitely real, but did not bear a signature or even an email address,
right.
So we don't know who it came from. I would really like to know more. If the alien glyphs are real, I would love to know more about them. If we are finding mummies of aliens, I would love to have the DNA tested. I would love to have that genome out there. I would love to compare it to my own.
I want to see if we're related.
We're all related, babe.
Am I related to those mummies?
You're related to all the mummies. So this one gets a 4 from me.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's very weird this month at all. I had a hard time scraping together a bunch of weird stuff that happened this month. I feel like this month was a liminal space where not much was happening because something is going to happen.
You feel like we're in the eye of the weird?
Right, right. I feel like it ebbs and it flows, and I feel like this month has been an ebb situation. I feel like we are in the low points. People are on spring break. People are on vacations. People who are involved in the disclosure process are getting smacked down by arrow all over the place and getting their fucking op-eds blocked. I feel like we are in a space right now where there's a lot of lids being put on pots, but you cannot keep the lid on the pot. We will be back next month and it'll probably be weirder. Actually, I saw some shit today that was weirder than anything we posted, but it's for Weird April, so you're gonna have to wait.
Weird April. Hey, if you're on the free tier, you can remain on the free tier. You'll get every weird month, but for the real shit, you do have to sign up. Patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity.
Right. And we are brought to you by some very special sponsors, such as plants.
You've seen them around. You've seen them outside. They're the green guys we know, we love. We breathe their oxygen. They breathe our carbon dioxide.
Sounds intimate.
It's extremely intimate, and we can't do anything without them. Thanks, right. Plants.
I love plants. And you know who else I love? Corey Grella.
Oh, Corey Grella, the number one insurance agent in Alaska? Sounds like a bit. Absolutely true. She didn't even tell us this. I Googled her.
We internet stalked her until we found out she was number one. And here we are, spilling the beans.
I actually think I used Bing because Google was like, Corey Grella is a Venus flytrap.
Right. Right.
But if you need a life insurance policy for you and or your family and or your Venus flytrap, hit up Corey Grella with a K and a G. That's how you find her. And last but not least,
our final sponsor, Harlem Township. Make sure you join us in the Discord to help us in assembling an army to defend Harlem Township from Westerville, Ohio.
That's right. If you're not in or you don't know anything about Ohio, Harlem Township, the beautiful pastoral area located in Delaware County, Central Ohio, is on the verge of being annexed by a suburban community, Westerville, very large. Will it be good for Harlem Township? Hard to say.
I doubt it.
Natalie's thinking about...
I just think that I hate society. And Harlem Township is so untouched. It is so beautiful and perfect. And it's just like a handful of people minding their own business. They don't need the hassle of the city. It's coming and getting their tentacles up in their fucking business and being like, property taxes, blah, blah, blah.
It's right? Tentacle colonialism.
Right, right.
Rule by annexation. It's horrible.
Join us as Harlem Township freedom fighters while we fight to defend Harlem Township from being absorbed by the vile Columbus, Ohio.
And thanks again, Harlem Township, Corey Grella, and Plants for sponsoring us. If you want to sponsor us, patreon.com/garbagebrainuniversity. Thanks again for listening, and remember, everything is real.
I love you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.